Hello, and welcome to this morning's edition of 5 at 8. Today is Friday, April 12th, 2024, and I'm Mark Overman, joined by my co-host Linda Carlisle. In this episode, we will talk about the U.S. potentially intervening to help Israel defend itself from an Iranian missile attack, the U.K. competition regulator warning about big tech companies in the AI sector, Russian state-backed hackers stealing email correspondence, Bank of England policymaker Megan Green's views on interest rate cuts, and Apple relaxing restrictions on repairing newer iPhones with used parts. Story number one. The U.S. may intervene to help Israel defend itself from an Iranian missile attack, potentially leading to a direct confrontation between Iran and the U.S. Iranian retaliation for an Israeli attack in Damascus is imminent, with diplomatic efforts being made to urge Iran to show restraint. Speculation and tensions are rising in the region, with calls for all countries to show restraint to prevent chaos. Despite threats and warnings from both sides, there is debate within Iran on the best response to the situation. Diplomatic efforts and humanitarian aid are also being discussed as potential solutions to the escalating tensions. According to The Guardian, this situation is developing rapidly and could have far-reaching consequences. Could this be a game-changer, Linda? The U.S. directly intervening to help Israel defend against an Iranian attack? We're talking about a potential direct confrontation between the U.S. and Iran. It's a strong show of support for Israel, and it could deter Iran from escalating further.
I see where you're coming from, Mark, but I think we need to be careful here. Every action has a reaction, and a direct confrontation could escalate the situation even further. While it's important to support our allies, we need to consider the potential repercussions. Diplomacy should be our first course of action, not military intervention.
But Linda, isn't diplomacy what led us here? Israel's attack on the Iranian consulate? Iran's subsequent threats? It all points to a failure of diplomacy. Sometimes, a show of force is necessary to maintain peace. The U.S. stepping in could be the wake-up call Iran needs.
I hear you, Mark, but let's not forget, force begets force. The use of force could trigger a cycle of violence from which it's hard to step back. And we're not just talking about Iran here. Other nations are closely watching this situation. We need to consider the ripple effects. What message are we sending to the rest of the world?
Linda, the message we're sending is clear. We will not stand by while our allies are threatened. Yes, there may be ripple effects, but isn't the risk worth taking if we can prevent further escalation and maintain peace in the region?
Well, Mark, it's not as simple as that. The perceived threat might be used as a justification for an attack on Israel or even the U.S. We need to tread carefully and exhaust all diplomatic channels before resorting to military intervention.
Story number two. The Guardian reports that the UK's competition regulator warns that the concentration of power among just six big tech companies in the AI sector could lead to winner-takes-all dynamics. These companies, including Google, Microsoft, Meta, Amazon, Apple, and Nvidia, have more than 90 partnerships and investments, raising concerns about anti-competitive practices. The regulator is committed to ensuring that the transformative technology of AI benefits everyone while preventing market power exploitation and unintended consequences. Tell you what, Linda, this concentration of power among just six big tech giants really is concerning, isn't it? We're looking at a potential winner-takes-all scenario in the AI sector, which is, to say the least, alarming. The tech world has seen this before, and history hasn't been kind to industries with such monopolistic tendencies.
We've seen how monopolies can stifle innovation and competition, and the effects can be detrimental. The CEO of the Competition and Markets Authority, Sarah Cardell, highlighted this risk in her speech. It's a call for vigilance to prevent these companies from using their market power to distort choice in AI services.
Couldn't agree more. The tech industry, especially with something as transformative as AI, should be a playground for innovation and competition. But with these big guns controlling critical inputs, from data to chips, it's not hard to see how they can shield themselves from competition.
And let's not forget the implications for consumer trust. If the AI market becomes dominated by a few players, the public might lose faith in the technology. It's a delicate balance between technological advancement and maintaining trust.
Right you are, Linda. And it's not just about trust. It's also about the full benefits of AI being felt across the economy. If the market is skewed towards a few players, we risk losing out on the wider societal and economic benefits of AI.
Good point. The interconnected web of investments and partnerships among these tech giants can limit diversity and choice in the market. Regulation needs to step in to ensure a fair playing field.
Tech regulators around the world need to be proactive. We're all excited about the promise of AI, but we got to ensure that this transformational technology delivers on its promise without compromising competition and consumer trust.
Yes, Mark, the need for balance is evident. As AI continues to advance rapidly, the need for careful regulation becomes even more critical. It's a complex challenge, but with global cooperation and a commitment to fairness and diversity, I believe it's a challenge we can overcome.
Story number 3. Russian state-backed hackers have stolen email correspondence between U.S. government agencies and Microsoft, leading to concerns about potential breaches and further damage. U.S. officials are working to shore up defenses and investigate the extent of the hacking activity. This incident is part of a larger pattern of foreign hacking campaigns targeting U.S. government agencies through Microsoft software, as reported by CNN. When you hear about this, it just hits home how the digital landscape is evolving, doesn't it? I mean, the fact that even tech giants like Microsoft and Hewlett-Packard are susceptible to these cyber espionage activities, it's like a wake-up call to everyone.
Absolutely. It's a stark reminder that no one is immune in this interconnected digital world. The fact that these hackers are state-sponsored, it really brings to light the complexity and the sophistication of these operations.
Right. And you know, this isn't even the first time something like this has happened. Remember the infamous SolarWinds hack? Same group, same strategy, and yet we seem to be caught off guard every time.
Yes, indeed. It's a clear indication that we need to reevaluate our cyber defense strategies. These are not just isolated incidents, they're part of a larger pattern of cyber attacks that are becoming increasingly common and increasingly damaging.
And the thing is, these attacks don't just affect the companies involved, they affect us all. When sensitive data is stolen, it compromises our security, our privacy. It's not just about Microsoft or Hewlett-Packard, it's about every individual and every business that uses their services.
Right, Mark. This is why it's so important for us to have international cooperation in dealing with these threats. Cybersecurity is not just a national concern, it's a global one. A breach in one part of the world can have ripple effects that reach far and wide. It's imperative that we work together to address these challenges.
Couldn't have said it better, Linda. It's high time we took this issue seriously. It's not just about protecting our companies or our data. It's about protecting our way of life in this digital age. And that's a responsibility we all share. Story number 4. Bank of England policymaker Megan Green believes that UK interest rate cuts are unlikely in August due to persistent inflationary pressures. She argues that the UK and US economies are different, and the underlying causes of inflation in the UK remain strong. Despite expectations for rate cuts, Green suggests that the UK should hold off on reducing interest rates, according to The Guardian. Whoa, this whole inflation situation is really heating up, isn't it? Megan Green's warning about the financial markets betting in the wrong direction is definitely a cause for concern. It's like they're trying to outrun a bear, but they're wearing the wrong shoes. The dynamics of the UK and US economies, as Green pointed out, are poles apart. So expecting the Bank of England and the Fed to reduce interest rates in tandem, well, it's apples and oranges, isn't it?
Yes, Mark. It's an intricate situation. Green's perspective is certainly thought-provoking. It's as though the financial markets are looking at a complex painting but only focusing on one detail. I agree, the differences between the UK and US economies can't be overstated. The labor market conditions, the inflation patterns, they're like two different ecosystems.
And the thing is, we've got this bigger-than-expected increase in US inflation in March, right? And that's already shifting gears for the Fed's first rate cut. It's like the market's got a surprise jolt from a bucket of cold water. Now they're scrambling to adjust their expectations for the Bank of England, but they're still, in Green's words, moving rate cut bets in the wrong direction.
Indeed. And let's not forget the second round effects that Green mentioned. It's as if the UK is caught in an inflationary echo chamber where higher prices are leading to higher wage demands. That's quite concerning. It's like a dog chasing its own tail. An unending cycle.
and the whole labor supply situation is a different kettle of fish altogether. The UK's labor market participation hasn't bounced back to the pre-pandemic trend, while the US has already surpassed it. It's like trying to compare a marathon runner with a sprinter. Both are in the race, but they're playing by different rules.
Such a fitting analogy, Mark. And this is where Green's assertion becomes even more relevant. If the UK and US are indeed like a marathon runner and a sprinter, then expecting their central banks to move in lockstep would be, well, it would be like expecting a turtle and a hare to finish a race at the same time. It's not just unlikely, it's a misconception of how these economies function.
Couldn't have put it better myself, Linda. The financial markets need to take a step back, examine their assumptions, and adjust their expectations. It's like they're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. They need to approach the UK and US economies as two separate entities with unique dynamics. Otherwise, they're just setting themselves up for a fall.
I absolutely agree, Mark. It's a complex issue that requires a nuanced understanding. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation. Each economy has its own unique characteristics and challenges, and treating them as the same, well, it's like trying to read a book in the dark. The understanding will be incomplete at best, and entirely wrong at worst.
Story number 5. Apple is relaxing restrictions on repairing newer iPhones with used parts like screens, batteries, and cameras. This change comes after Oregon passed a law against Apple's practice of tying parts to software, known as parts pairing. Apple's new policy will remove these restrictions for the iPhone 15, allowing genuine Apple parts to work seamlessly with the phone. The reversal follows criticism of Apple's increasing restrictions on iPhone repairs, which drove up costs for consumers, as reported by the New York Times. Could you believe this, Linda? Apple, one of the most profitable tech companies, finally backtracking on their policy of pairing iPhone parts. I mean, it's a game changer for consumers, right?
Yes, indeed, Mark. This policy reversal really signals a shift in Apple's stance towards consumer choice and the right to repair. Historically, Apple's practice of parts pairing meant that consumers had to rely on Apple-approved parts for repairs, which, as we know, can be significantly pricier.
Absolutely. And it's not just about the cost, right? It's about giving consumers the freedom to choose where and how they want their devices repaired. I mean, what's your take on this, Linda? Do you think this will lead to a broader change in the tech industry?
Well, Mark, the hope is that other tech companies will follow suit. This reversal comes on the heels of Oregon passing a law that essentially outlaws parts pairing. Similar bills are also being considered in other states. This legislative pressure could certainly prompt other electronics companies to reconsider their repair policies.
Agreed, Linda. It seems like we're seeing a trend towards more consumer-friendly policies. But what do you make of Apple's argument? They say that customers could be exposed to security risks if Apple were required to allow cheaper third-party parts. Do you think there's some validity to that?
Well, Mark, on the surface, it might appear as a valid concern. However, many third-party repair shops are quite capable and trustworthy. They already handle sensitive data when repairing devices, and there's no substantial evidence to suggest that using third-party parts necessarily increases security risks. It's more about maintaining control over the repair market.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of a cop-out to me. I mean, we've seen similar practices in other industries. Car manufacturers, for example, tried to limit repairs to authorized dealerships by arguing safety concerns. But over time, independent mechanics have proven they can do the job just as well, if not better, right?
That's a great point, Mark. And it's important to remember that these restrictions also impact the cost of repairs. If consumers can access less expensive parts and independent repair services, it could potentially drive down these costs. This could make a significant difference for many people who can't afford expensive repairs.
Definitely, Linda. At the end of the day, it's about giving power back to the consumers, and I'm all for that. It's high time these tech giants realized they can't just dictate terms. Anyway, let's see how this plays out. I'm sure we'll be discussing this again as the story develops.
It's a big step, but there's still a long way to go in ensuring consumer rights in the tech industry. But for now, it's a move in the right direction.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.